Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Well, I have it for you right here. It's ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with one single click. Find any candidate you want, any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once and watch all your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails, calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire the person fast. Boom, done. We actually are hiring people at Barstool. We might have to use ZipRecruiter. Find those people. Find the people to run all the new studio stuff and all the equipment. We'll use ZipRecruiter. And here's what I got for you. Listeners, you post your job on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. One more time. Listen, ZipRecruiter.com/sportsfan. Do it right now. Get the best person for your job. Hire a stoolie. Do that for everyone. To hire someone who listens is part of my take. Let's pay it forward in the words of Marlins Man. Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Wednesday, July 13th, and the Cubs have to open the World Series on the road.
What's your magic number now? Is it 69?
I don't know, but the Cubs, unfortunately, I have a hot take for you to start off. I actually don't hate that the All-Star game decides this. I hate that they're kind of stuck in the middle. So if you're going to have the All-Star game decide where the World Series starts every year, eliminate the fan vote and treat it like a real game. They're kind of stuck in the middle where it's important, but then they have idiot Royal fans stuffing the ballot box and guys like Nolan Arenado not running out the final out of the game. So
that was disgusting.
It was disgusting. You play 90, baby. You respect 90.
People forget that Pete Rose ran over a catcher in the All-Star game.
Right. So I don't hate it. I do think the MLB All-Star game is by far the best All-Star game there is. It's not really close.
You don't like the NBA All-Star game? Just like points.
Just dunks and alley-oops and no defense.
Nah. Oh, wow. Look at you. You're more
wait,
fan
did
of
I say, wait,
game.
Are we talking about an NBA All-Star game or an NBA regular season game?
Either way.
Yeah.
Look at you, what's college guy over there. It's still the best of the best. Or I'd say the best of the worst, because all All-Star games are pretty much terrible. But you always hear old-timers talking about how the Major League All-Star game used to be really, really good. Is that true? Or is that just something that they say, back in my day, TV shows were funnier, and then you turn on, it's Mr. Ed as a horse that talks, and you're like, Grandpa, you need to go to bed and take your medicine.
No sport does nostalgia quite like Major League Baseball. They always want to talk about games that have been played 50 years ago that no one gives a fuck about anymore. And they're like, well, you remember the time. They're doing like flashbacks to 1994's All-Star game. They love it. There's no one who likes to talk about the past more than Major League Baseball.
Maybe it's just because there were like four channels. And so like it was that. And then there were two soap commercials on and the other one was broken. So, yeah, it was the best thing on television back in the day. But now there's a little thing called Pokemon Go. There's a little thing called porn on TV and on your computer and on your iPhone. So it's like you're competing for eyeballs with all these awesome things.
Prohibition's no longer a thing. You can drink.
Yeah. We're not – half the country isn't overseas in Europe and on islands in the Pacific. So, yeah, I guess maybe at that time, if you were lucky enough to be in front of a TV, it was probably the best thing on. But like right now, I just don't see how much better the game could get than it is right now, because it's basically the best players playing like two innings, and that's what the game has always been.
Right. I would like I'd like more pitchers from it. Everyone loves when like a outfielder or a catcher has to pitch. They should have that be a part of the All-Star game.
The seventh inning is the position player pitching inning.
Yes. And you put your pitchers at position players. Mix it up a little.
And there are no umps. You call your own strikes.
Call your own strikes would be a wild, wild scene. The other thing the All-Star game always does to us, they trick us. They say the start time. I think the start time on my TV said 7 o'clock. I think the game started at like 8:45. They always do that. Yeah. There's like a 75-minute pregame where they have to honor the past. They have to honor the past because no one does that quite like Major League Baseball.
It's the Major League Baseball All-Star game does that, and also college basketball used to do it. But the way they would do it was they would say, like, the game tips off at 6:48 and get real specific with it. So you're like, okay, I trust that number. And then you tune in and it doesn't tip off till 7:30.
Yep.
That's a really sneaky way of doing it. But luckily we had a couple of good things that happened during the game to distract us from such a shitty game.
Let's save it. Let's bring it up for our guest, Dan Heron. Let's quickly do Mount Rushmore, then we'll go to Dan Heron. Does that work?
Yeah, sure. Just cut me off. That's fine.
In honor of Pokemon Go, we're going to do favorite video games, our Mount Rushmore favorite video games. This actually should be a good debate because, as many of you know, PFT and I are the same age. Hank is not. So it will be interesting to see what kind of weird games Hank comes up with. Who should start?
Let's let Hank go first.
All right, Hank, you go first.
All right, first up, NFL Blitz.
Oh.
Okay.
Didn't see that one coming from you, Hank.
That seems like it'd be a little bit before your time.
No, that was... I played video games a lot more when I was really young, and that was
you know like what this
my
is?
Favorite one.
This is like when you're a kid and you're hanging out with your cool uncle and you're like, I love Led Zeppelin so much, and you're trying to get your uncle on your side. Hank is sick of us roasting his Mount Rushmores, so he's like trying to throw us a bone with his first pick. I know your game, but okay, go on.
Power Pete for the Macintosh computer.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Is that like a game? Is that like Mavis Beacon when they tried to pretend that you were learning? I mean, they tried to pretend you're playing video games, but you're really learning?
You guys never played Secrets? Power Pete?
No. Never played Power Pete.
Next up, NBA 2K7, maybe the most glitchy game of all time. Great game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're putting it on your Mount Rushmore because it sucks.
No, but it was fun.
Okay.
The glitches were fun.
Okay. What kind of glitches? Tell us a glitch.
Like you'd be running down the court, and if you had like a sub coming in, he'd be sitting at half court in the middle.
That's
of the
kind
game.
Of a cool glitch.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And you could like take charges from behind.
Wow.
Wild.
My kind of game.
Wild stuff.
Jeez.
And last but not least, Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Okay.
Oh.
I've heard other youths discuss Call of Duty Modern Warfare, so I think you're right on the money with that one.
I think I'm right on the money with all of them.
Not to brag here, Hank, but your old uncle Big Cat used to be quite the Call of Duty player back in like 2005. It was the Nazis and the Americans. It was pretty lit game, and I was consistently on the high score list when I used to hop on the internet and play.
Wow.
Yeah. Back in the day. You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I have Madden, the franchise.
Yeah.
Going to take the whole franchise. Fuck it. It's my, you know, Mount Rushmore, you get to make your own rules.
There were a couple years that sucked, though. I don't want to give you a pass on that.
Yeah, also, I should clarify that I am not a nerd video game guy. I never was into, like, Zelda and, like, all those weird shit, you know, whatever. Twisted Metal 2. Do you guys ever play that?
Never played it, no.
Oh, great game for PlayStation.
Is it is that a driving game? Do you drive?
You like go around, Axel. I used to be Axel, and then I can't remember what the clown's guy, the big clown. Someone tweet me that. Twisted Metal 2, great game. Cool Borders. You guys ever play Cool Borders?
No.
God damn it, I'm striking out. All right, here's my last one.
Is that a real game?
Cool. Yes. Yeah. It's fucking snowboarders game, guys.
Ah, cool.
Sure, you aren't thinking of 1080.
I used to do all kinds of shit in Cool Borders. I have a tie for my last one. NBA Jam Tournament Edition and GoldenEye.
Fuck you. No, you can't do... You can't take those two with your last picks. You're getting TE.
I ran out of spots on my Mount Rushmore, and I had two games left.
Pop quiz. Can you explain the difference between TE and regular NBA Jam?
Yeah, you could use three... There was three players. You had a bench.
You could do that... Couldn't you do that in regular?
I don't think so.
Which one was the one that had Michael Jordan? Oh, yeah, neither of them, because Michael Jordan's an asshole and he wouldn't sign up.
You remember, he could play with Bill Clinton, though.
Oh, could you really? I never played in president.
Play in the codes. Yeah, you could play in the codes.
Okay, here are mine. GoldenEye is number one, since you didn't take
it. Already said.
Yeah, okay. Number two, I have Oregon Trail.
Oh, classic.
Number three, I've got... number three, I'm going to go Donkey Kong Country for SNES, the original one.
Oh.
That was a good one. When Diddy Kong got it. Hey, Hank, you ever play that game?
What was it? What'd you play it on?
SNES.
I've never even heard of that.
Hank, Super Nintendo, Hank.
Hank, speaking little, shortcuts little lesson for you, Hank. Donkey Kong was the original Harambe.
too soon.
That's why Harambe's death affected us so much. It's because the hours our generation spent playing as a gorilla. Like it felt like a little piece of our youth died. So we've got.
I'll tell you, man. If any like short fat Italian plumbers die soon, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be waterworks around here.
All right, and number four, I'm gonna go with California Games.
Oh, that is a wild card.
You could cut it up on any sort of like bodacious boarded adventure.
Dude, you could literally play hacky sack on video games.
Yeah, sweet. It was really sweet.
See, I think that's what, along with Cool Borders, where it's like, you know, that allure, that West Coast Cobra allure. You gotta, you know.
It was exotic to me, for sure, yeah. I was either going to go with that or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. But that was another one where they tried to sneak a little bit of learning past you. There was absolutely no learning going on in California Games.
Do you remember that game that we, the game for the computer where you had to do addition and then the rocket kept on going up and if you slowed down it would crash? Hated that game. They used to always fucking do those games to us.
Yeah,
where it's like, hey, look how much fun this is, and then you're like, shit, I'm learning.
We knew though.
Right. Yeah.
The second work. I started to like figure something new out, I was like, wait, this isn't fun. You tricked me.
That was a great Mount Rushmore. Everyone, tweet us your Mount Rushmore four best video games. This is one of those ones that probably will get heated because it's very subjective, but embrace the debate. No, don't bash anyone. You know, don't put anyone down just because they picked a basketball game because there was glitches in it. Like, let's not go, hypothetically speaking, someone does that, let's not bash them and send us your games.
Can we just come up with our own video game, like a Part of My Take game?
Yeah, that'd be great. Be like,
how much work goes into designing a game, really? It can't be that much.
You know who we could ask? Our friend Kurt Schilling. He's a game designer.
That's not a bad idea. Let's get Kurt on the horn and see if he can help us out on this one.
Yeah, actually, let's do that. We're going to actually try to – Hank, you're going to reach out to Kurt Schilling next week. We're going to try to get Kurt Schilling on, and we're only going to talk video games and how to create a video game company. All right. Let's now kick it to former All-Star and Chicago Cub, Dan Heron. Now we welcome back a recurring guest, great guest, former MLB All-Star. We'll get into that so that we can get some insider tips on the All-Star game. Dan Heron. Dan, I know you said you watched the game. Are you as disgusted as we are by Arenado not running out the final out?
No, I think,
You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Think about the message it sends to the kids.
The kids, the troops. It probably sends a bad message to the troops too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Marlins man is probably really upset about it.
Did you check out the stuff that was going on with Marlins man's Twitter tonight?
I refuse to follow Marlins man on Twitter. Okay. I refuse. I can't.
A healthy choice.
Yeah, that's a very healthy choice.
Yeah. No, I was actually on the Marlins, and I remember guys got mad because he would claim, like, he knew what was going on in the clubhouse and stuff, and he had no clue what was no. going on. Yeah,
no.
yeah.
That no
oh yeah, like
when trade.
Yeah, like you know, he'd grade the trade. You know, like if a guy gets traded, he'd grade, and he'd you know say if a guy was good in the clubhouse or guys didn't like this guy in the clubhouse, that's why he got traded. So stuff like that.
What a good dude.
Oh yeah, humble.
So when you were in the All-Star games, they counted. Do you mm-hmm. like that rule or not?
I don't mind it. I mean, I think of all the All-Star games, I mean, I think it's probably the best one. Yep. You know, the Pro Bowl stinks. NBA is all right, but I mean, it's just, you know, it's after the first quarter, it kind of gets redundant. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big NHL guy, sorry. So I guess it's the best of the bunch, but I mean, yeah, it did count when we had drama 1 year when it went like 15 innings or something. Yep. And, I mean, yeah, it's all right.
As a pitcher, did you ever like think to take a couple miles per hour off your fastball during an All-Star game just so that you didn't get hurt?
No, I didn't. If anything, I mean, how slow did you want me to? I don't know where you wanted me to go. Is that a passive aggressive joke at my velocity? I don't know.
No, it's not.
What an asshole.
Stay woke.
For the first time in my professional career, I was asking like a legitimate question because I was interested in knowing the answer. But now, yeah, you know what? Now it was a joke at your expense. So there you go. I throw you a six.
Yeah, there you go. No, but you know when you even see it in the All-Star game today, like the first pitch any guy throws, the first thing they do is check up at the radar gun just to check, see if the adrenaline of an All-Star game got you know a few miles per hour or something.
Ooh. I like that. What if there was a bunch of controversy today because Jose Fernandez said that he would groove some pitches to David Ortiz if they faced off. Would mm-hmm. you, if you were faced with that same situation, say Derek Jeter, David Ortiz, would you be like, you know what, I'm just going to throw him a meatball?
A pipe shot, as your buddy Wainwright says?
Yeah.
Wayno. Wayno's not that bad either. He really isn't. You guys give him a hard time. He's all right. As long as you don't
make his kids watch a Viagra commercial, Wayno's a pretty good guy.
Yeah. No, me and Wainwright came up together, so no, he's all right. But no, you know what? I was actually faced with a kind of a similar situation in 2008, the last All-Star game at the old Yankee Stadium. I faced Jeter and the crowd was going crazy. But I tried to get him out and I did get him out actually. So, you know, the crowd didn't like it, but I got him to ground out to second, I think.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
What about the clubhouse with the All-Star game? Is it everyone kind of having fun, or is there still like, hey, I kind of don't like you. You know, we're rivals and we're going to hate each other in a minute. Or are you guys like, let me ask you this way. Are you guys closer to the NBA where you're all on a banana boat enjoying your offseason? Or are you closer to the NHL where you'll fight and maybe have like, you know, handshake at the end, but you really hate each other and you know that rivalries are rivalries?
Much closer to the NBA.
Okay.
Guys are pretty nice. Yeah, guys are pretty nice in the clubhouse. Doesn't really matter if you've had beef with them during the year. I mean, it's pretty mellow. I mean, you know, although the game counts, guys don't take it entirely that seriously. I mean, they take their at bat seriously. Pitchers take their innings seriously, but I mean, it's definitely not life or death out there. People are, you know, enjoying themselves more than anything.
How do the managers prepare you going into the game? Like, do they tell players if they don't think that they're going to be able to get them in?
I wouldn't know. I pitched in all my All-Star games, so I was always told what inning I was going to be in. I don't know. It's kind of weak, though. You know, the game does matter, and then you see the game ends in the ninth inning with, you know, guys that are, you know, coming off the bench, not necessarily the guys that are the greatest of players. Not, I mean, no offense to any of the guys, but, you know, you see all the guys start the games and they're out real quick. So I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Definitely. The All-Star game definitely gets to the, you know, all the pitchers, but by the end you're like, oh, that guy made an All-Star game because they have the rule that every team needs to have one player.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I was never that player. Yeah, there's always it must be uncomfortable for that guy.
Oh, did that ever come up? Were you ever like, hey, look at the Minnesota Twin over there?
No, it never did. No, I remember one year, I think it was Mark Redmond made it or something. He was like 3-10 with a 6 ERA or something. That must have sucked. That must have really sucked for him.
Did Eckstein ever make it?
Eckstein? I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll bet he would have run out the last out of the game.
Oh. Yeah. Sure. No, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure he would have.
All right. Talking less about the All-Star game, more about the second half. Have you been watching? Have you been following baseball or no in your retirement?
Well, since you told me I was going to be on the podcast, I definitely caught up as much as I could the last few days.
Yes.
For sure.
Damn. Yeah. You're a Wikipedia guy like us.
You know, the Wikipedia thing, I think that you guys regret the Wikipedia thing, actually.
It's actually a lot more reading than I thought it was going to be.
Yes, exactly. I think you actually bit off more than you could chew.
Without a doubt.
I think, for sure.
Can we be like YouTube guys?
We're more, and less than 2 minute YouTube guys, really. If we're gonna narrow it down, anything over 2 minutes on YouTube, I don't really have an attention span for that.
If you can't explain it to me using the the Hitler finds out in the bunker scene that everybody like overdubs, then the information's just not going to get absorbed.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I don't know, but the Wikipedia thing still seems like a lot, especially for the Blake Bortles guy.
It's a bear. It's a bear.
Yeah.
It's been a bear, and it continues to be a bear. It's like I wake up in the middle of the night like, shit, I got reading to do.
That's what summertime's all about. It's personal growth. So, you know, we make ourselves uncomfortable. We learn something.
Yeah.
All right. So then the question is, who do you have in the World Series? Because I love asking that, even though there's so much baseball left. We asked Donshel Willis on this on Monday. What did he even say? He was like, he picked Cubs and other.
He pulled the
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
He likes the Cubs, but he wouldn't be surprised if it was the Nationals, the Giants, or the whatever.
And then he just said, like, he mentioned the names of three American League teams and just kind of like, left those dangling out there.
The Indians are
he works for MLB or Fox or whatever, so he can't really say. No, I mean, I like the Cubs still. I do like the Cubs. They really played like crap the last few weeks. I mean, it almost feels like an NBA season and you got like the one seed locked up or the two seed or something, and you're just kind of coasting to the end. That's kind of get that feel, but I like them. I mean, I would say them or
the Reds.
The Reds. That was your preseason pick, right?
Yeah. Are they done or are they finished?
They're finished.
I knew it.
Yeah. I know, and I know from your tweets that you circle all the Reds games. Big Cat, just assuming those are wins, but those have been tough. Those have been tougher lately.
Backfired on us on the last week. I had the Reds and the Braves as a lot of wins last week.
A little hubris there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then AL team.
AL, I like the Blue Jays. Ooh. I do like the Blue Jays. Yeah. I mean, Indians got the pitching. I like the Blue Jays from last year. They had a little experience. They got some guys in the bullpen, pretty good starting staff, and the lineup's a joke.
So how careful is Major League Baseball going to be with, like, deciding who's allowed to sing the Canadian National Anthem after what happened tonight?
Ooh, yeah, the tenors.
That was the most exciting part of the night. The tenors, Canadian favorite. They came out, they sang Oh Canada, and they added lyrics to it. And the lyrics that they added were All Lives Matter. And the dude held up an All Lives Matter sign.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I miss this?
I don't know who Canada thinks they are coming into the United States and telling them how to act.
I know. It's World War III. Here it comes.
I think we'd win that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, so do you think the Cubs miss your locker room presence at all?
Probably not. I miss locker room presence. I might take a trip down to Chicago, actually, and me and the family were actually thinking about it in a month or so. I don't know if you guys will still be there, but
I will not.
So yeah,
it's really mean of you to mention that.
I'm sorry, but no, I'm pretty sure that they've probably forgotten about me. They've moved on to bigger and better people, and you know, that's the way it goes.
What amount of money does someone have to call up and offer you to get back on a team for the second half?
I can't physically do it. That's the problem.
What amount of money does a team have to call up and offer you the second half?
I think it'd have to be a rock. What if it had to be a Roger Clemens type deal where it was like $1 million to start.
Okay, $1 million to start. Are you doing it?
I mean, yeah, I do it. I mean,
Dan Heron, breaking news. Dan Heron is considering coming out of retirement.
He's putting feelers out to teams. Any GMs that listen to this show, call us up.
Yeah.
Can we be your agent? Do you still have an agent?
Maybe your favorite team, the Reds.
Yeah, Reds, if you're listening, like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not, Dan Heron?
I know. I could squeeze into that rotation, probably.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, yeah, I think you'd be there one or two.
You want me to cold call them for you? I'll cold call the Reds.
No, well, I have the GM's number in my phone. Should we call him?
Hey, you need an arm? All right, wait, that's a good segue. You are part of the Brew Crew.
Yes.
Very honored members. I want you to start being an MLB insider, so please give us, in honor of the Brew Crew, an MLB sources, maybe just a rumor, something to think about going into the second half.
No, I will give you a rumor, but first of all, you know, I wanted to break something a few weeks ago because Kershaw got hurt, and I knew he was hurt, and I knew he was going to go on the DL, and nobody else knew, and I wanted to tweet out something just so I could, like, break the news.
Dude,
but I couldn't do that to him.
Why didn't you send it to me?
I couldn't do it. He would know. Come on, I can't do that.
He wouldn't.
That would be quite a way to announce yourself as being an MLB insider, like breaking Kershaw news. That's the big fish.
Mm-hmm. That would have been great.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Just
disappointed
that you told us about this after the fact, and you're like, sorry. Hey, I could have, but I didn't.
I don't know, trades, who knows? The Cubs probably need to get a reliever. Maybe the Schwarber for Andrew Miller thing happens.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Yeah. You don't think Theo will actually trade Schwarber though, do you?
I don't think so, but I'm pretty certain they're going to add an arm in the bullpen, and it's going to take a lot to get one of those guys.
Yeah, it will. I don't think he'll trade Schwarber though. I don't know who he will trade, but I think Schwarber is a no-touchy situation.
No, yeah. I mean, he's the man. Yeah.
So if you ever get another inside tip and we find out you didn't give it to us, I don't know. I'm not threatening. Yeah, I'm not a threat kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay. Well, the next tip, maybe I will. Maybe I'll text you. I'll DM you.
Do we have any other questions, PFT?
I'm just wondering, like, how much do pitchers really need an all-star break? Like, I know why all the other guys do, but if you pitch once every 5 days, like, do you really need to take a couple days off?
You think being a starting pitcher is easy?
Yeah.
What exactly do you do with your life?
I'm a blogger.
Exactly.
Pokemon Go? Ever heard of it?
Yeah. No. Is Kyle Long, is he coming on your show?
He is.
He's on today or Wednesday?
Yeah, he's on.
He's after me or before me?
He's whatever you want. We can edit it.
I saw that he was going to be on and I didn't. It's like the late night talk show type scenario where I was wondering if I was going to be the first guest or the second guest. You know,
you're
the second
first.
Guest.
You're okay, the first. Good. Yeah.
I kind of feel bad for him now, but that's all right.
He came on to talk only Pokemon Go. So, yeah, that's a different interview. Wait, so you way to evade the question.
Mm-hmm. I forgot the question.
Why do you need to rest your arm?
Well, it's a long season. There's 33 starts. I mean, you can see what the toll of a season does to somebody. Look at Jake. Look at Arrieta. I mean, he threw 250 something innings last year. He's up over 100 this year.
Doesn't trust his bullpen.
That's a hot take.
Here's my story.
He's logged 350 plus innings in the last year and a half. So I mean, if the guy doesn't want to pitch in the All-Star game and take an extra 2 weeks to be fresh, I think that's okay.
Right. Here's my actual question. I'm being serious this time. Do you notice after the All-Star break, if you just get those like extra 2 or 3 days rest in between, can you actually tell a difference in your arm when it's time to make your next start?
Is this a thing where you're making fun? Like, I don't throw hard. Am I going to throw harder?
No,
after?
No, you're being really hard on yourself, Dan. I'm totally
honest. You know what's the problem, Dan? Can I just interject for a second? Yeah. You're too woke. You are too woke.
I know. I throw too much shade on myself.
Right. You're too woke. You always got your eyes open like, oh, whoa. But that's actually a really good question. I want to know the answer as well.
You know what? I always like throwing the first game back after the break, just figuring that, hoping that a few of the hitters maybe didn't do shit over the break and I can get through the lineup a little easier, because I was a pretty hard worker, so I was always throwing and stuff during the All-Star break. But I don't feel any different in my arm. No.
Are there guys who, like, if they don't pick up a bat for 4 or 5 days, it's going to take them a couple days to get back into it?
I mean, generally, guys will go on a little mini vacation. I mean, some guys, you know, guys in Southern California, they'll go to Mexico and do stuff like that. So you have to think they're not doing stuff in Mexico. So, I mean, most teams have a workout the night before Thursday. So, I mean, I think it's a slight advantage if a guy hasn't swung a bat in 3.5 days.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll have you on again in the fall. This was a lot of fun. I think people, for the most part, everyone was like, you're our best recurring guest who is a former Major League Baseball pitcher.
And the only.
Cubs for half a season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You weren't woke enough there.
Well, yeah. When's AJ Green coming back on? Or How much rock and refuel have you put in your body in the last 3 months?
Hey, dude, 15 grams of protein. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Dan. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That interview with Dan Heron was brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is an awesome service that you can use. Nobody likes going grocery shopping. You have to wait in line. You have to put your credit card in. A lot of times the chip thing, if you have the chip, it takes like 60 seconds to read it. Nobody likes that. You want stuff that's delivered to your house, stuff that's fresh, simple, awesome ingredients, ready to cook. And not all ingredients are created equal. You can get fresh ones from Blue Apron, or you can get week-old ones from your terrible grocer. So use Blue Apron. It's awesome for less than $10 a meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They know that when you cook with good ingredients, you make awesome meals. So they send you the highest quality items. They send you the best proteins, the freshest produce. It's really great stuff from family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. They give you ramen noodles, things like wild-caught Alaskan salmon, heirloom tomatoes. They always bring you the best. And they mix it up, too. Everybody gets stuck in a rut where you make the same thing. For me, it's just basically like I put a chicken breast into a pot of water and I boil it. And then when it's done, I eat it and I get big and strong. But with Blue Apron, they give you all the best ingredients, all the freshest stuff. It's flexible and they mix it up so you don't get stuck in that same rut eating the same thing over and over again. So I've got a special, special deal for Part of My Take listeners. You get to check out this week's menu and you get your first 3 meals for free. With free shipping, you go to blueapron.com/pardon, P-A-R-D-O-N. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create an incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Go to blueapron.com/pardon. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And now for something completely different.
We now welcome on a good friend of the program, Kyle Long, offensive lineman of Chicago Bears, also Pokemon Go, I don't even know what to call, like, extraordinaire enthusiast.
I wouldn't say extraordinaire, but I'll stop there.
Enthusiast.
I'm new to the app, and I'm new to Pokemon as like a lifestyle.
Okay.
So I'm learning how to navigate my way through the world.
Okay. So, but we're bringing you on because you are a big video game guy, and you are very much hooked on Pokemon Go, and we wanted to talk to someone about Pokemon Go. So my first question is, have you ever thought about playing a real sport instead of this stupid nerdy Pokemon stuff?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I find that highly offensive, because if you live in the Arizona area at any point during the year, if you're traveling around trying to chase these Pokemon down, it's pretty tough work. It's a tough task and it can be dangerous at times, but you got to bring extra water, make sure it fuels good, and wear some comfortable shoes because these things are everywhere.
Yeah, so what is the Pokemon environment like? Do they call it a map? What's the map like? What's the map
it's like in Arizona? Like, well, if you look down at the ground in front of you, it's basically the earth or a building, and both of those things are represented on the map that you're given. Pokemon, I guess they've spent a ton of time developing this game, and I mean, I guess they use Google Maps or something, because they have every building, every store, like, you know, I mean, basically every point of interest you could think of is marked on there. Every gym is a gym.
Okay, so are you, so you take pictures of inside your house?
Yeah, well, like, Google. basically, I guess I'm screwed if I'm doing anything that's considered sketchy. If I'm being a, you know, sketchy dude, then they can investigate me in that regard. I don't know.
I don't, do you think shit, maybe Roger Bill like invented this awesome app to get
if like a van, like a all black van like rolled up and a bunch of guys jumped out and they were like, hey, we saw you playing Pokemon and we, you know, cross searched your something with whatever and we linked you to something. Mm-hmm. I think that would be an experience.
it would be an experience. Yes.
It definitely would. Do you think that this is like maybe something that coaches, commissioners would look at in the future, like developing a game and being like, hey guys, check out this new game that we have. If you pee into a cup in your own house and it's hooked up to this sensor, then you level up and you get extra hit points. And, you know, in reality, believe it or not, you're actually sending data to like your boss.
Well, you know what? I'm just so naive, man. I'm just enjoying the app and it's fun. I get to throw, like, I was in 7-Eleven today grabbing some water post-workout. Got to hydrate. I got a ding on my phone, pulled it out. There was a Squirtle right there in the ice cream aisle or whatever the hell it was. I posted a picture of it. It was a little cute little Pokemon, and I just had to throw a little Pokeball at it. And luckily, I stocked up. I'm not even going to lie. I splurged on the app. I spent like $20 on Pokeballs and, like, luring potions. I've been, like, everywhere I'm at. I just put out my that incense sounds like I'm hunting, like a salt lick on the ground, and I just wait for my...
It know, sounds my, like you're a borderline pedophile, honestly, when you put it that way. Like, I've got all these cool potions to lure the,
hey, here's to lure the deal,
tiny,
bro.
Cute little Pokemons into my black van and drive away.
As a hunter, I have a tool belt and abilities, and I got to be able to access different ones at different times. So if the incense, if it calls for an incense, if I'm at a Pokestop, I can use one of my little lure things. It's another creepy word, lure, but you can use those and it brings Pokemon over there, and other Poke, you know, searchers can find the same animals I'm checking out, because so I'm a team player like that.
What has been your best Pokemon catch to date? Like, have you, I know that, like, in hunting they get like 20 point bucks. What's your 20 point bucks so far?
Hold on. Let me reference my app here.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you go do that?
So I'm in the inventory right now.
Oh, okay. Tell us what's in your inventory right now. So also, go ahead, actually. Go ahead and read us your inventory.
And any further questions before I reference my inventory?
Yes. I was going to ask, do you have any ethical issue with catching intelligent animals and then making them fight?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't fought any.
Okay. Do you see any parallels with that in the NFL?
I'm kind of a collector in the Steve Carell 40-year-old virgin reference of collector, I'd say. Okay. Like, I have these things boxed and shined to perfection.
Right.
Don't but touch them.
I think the larger point that Big Cat's bringing up here is, like, what is the real difference between Pokemon and dogfighting?
Gosh, I mean, I think the fact that you go to the digital realm and no actual animals are harmed. So,
I would say dogfighting is not real.
Is a serious issue, and that's, you know, that's pretty bad. But I wouldn't rate Pokemon with dogfighting. I definitely wouldn't do that.
Let me ask it a different way. I'll ask you it a different
gymnastics
different way.
There on your part.
I'm going to ask it a different way. If you could train and fight one Pokemon, and then going to jail for 2 years as an aftermath. Math, then re-signing and having a short successful resurgence with a new NFL team, and then becoming a solid backup down the road for two more teams, what Pokemon would it be?
Blastoise.
There we go. Great answer. I don't even know what that is. Now read us your inventory. We literally have no idea what's going on with Pokemon.
Okay, so I found a ton of... Okay, I can't pronounce this. It's like a Rattata, I believe it is.
R-A-T-T-A-T-A. It's like a little rat, obviously, with a giant tail that sticks up. I found like six of those. Yeah. I got an Abra, a Paris with P-A-R-A-S with 128 CP. I used a few of my tokens there to rank him up a little bit. But he's pretty cool. He's a little, you know, crab thing that crawls around.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what?
Have you caught definitely a girlfriend yet?
Definitely haven't fought any of them, so I don't know the toughness or gritty nature of my squad yet. But I've been collecting blankets.
Kyle, did you hear PFT's question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was just wondering if you caught a girlfriend.
I've been throwing. They're really hard to like throw the Pokeball at, and some don't fit, especially the ones I go for, and it can be tough to get them.
So now that I have this app, every time I walk down the street, I'm looking around and I'm looking at people who are also holding their phones, and I can't tell if they're playing. I think that they're playing Pokemon, but I'm not sure. Is there a Jeep Wave type of thing for Pokemon players to be like, yeah, I'm playing the Poke or whatever you guys call it?
Like you can stand there and like tap your foot on your other foot or whatever and be like, oh yeah, that guy's got.
Yeah, it's like fellow traveler here.
Or like, you know, like a little head nod or whatever. But I'm sure there's head nods for other things that signify other things. So got to come up with something else. But I like the track you're going with that.
Can we figure out like right now what the Pokemon wave is?
I'd say like, you know, like the little okay emoji.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think because people don't really use that a lot.
Yep.
Do you mean like the actual OK sign? IRL,
which is in real life. People like don't use the emoji. People use it iPhone all the time in the iPhone world, but not in real life. So we should use
that. I like that. I like
maybe
that.
Like down by the, not down by the pocket because people think you're going to punch them if you look
yeah,
at
yeah, the circle
like
game.
Okay, so over your head, circle game. That's the new Jeep beep. Kyle. So you listed all of your Pokemon guys that you've caught, and now what are you doing with them? Like, what are you gonna do with them?
Well, I gotta get him some more friends.
Okay.
First and foremost, well, what I did is I got him a better sanctuary. I got a better backpack.
Don't they have you as a friend?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're always on my iPhone, which is why my shit is always dying. But we'll figure that out, I guess.
Help me figure one thing out here. I've caught like, I think, seven or eight of these guys.
Yeah.
What do I do? Like, I like the act of catching them, but then what do I do once I have them? They're just like, I'm a very novice player, if you can't
tell
already.
Here's the deal, bro. Here's the deal about Pokemon, and it's kind of a microcosm of a lot of things in your life. I mean, you chase the Pokemon, you throw the ball at the Pokemon, great catch, you know, got one or whatever. Look at it in your inventory, show it to your buddy. And then it's like, let's go catch another Pokemon, dude.
Mm.
Yeah.
Caught for life.
Once you get one, like, it's, you know.
I mean, you can put them in the backpack. That's why you get a big backpack. You can throw a lot of Pokemon in there, but.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, I got my hat.
You're always chasing that dragon, man.
Pokeballs, dude.
Ooh. Yeah,
like the first time that
serious.
I caught one, it honestly felt like heroin to me. But seriously, like, I'm trying to figure out how to beat Big Cat and Hank in this game because it's very important. We've got a big bet going on this week. So I've caught seven. What do I like? What's the next step? What's the next like level in being a good Pokemon player? Now that I've got some, what do I do with them?
You're on a computer, right?
No, I've got my iPhone.
Okay, well, what you should do is press end call and then go outside and just
ooh
walk around and check out the outdoor world and search for Pokemon. They're everywhere. Wear some comfortable shoes. Bring some shades. I'm sure it's hot. Do your thing, man.
That's
I was actually asking an honest question. Like, I don't know what the next step is.
I swear to God, that is my advice. If you're going to play Pokemon, get your iPhone charger, bring it around with you, and just wait at public places. Go to the library, man. Meet a chick. Maybe you and I can hang out at a public library / coffee shop sometime. Drink some iced coffee in Chicago and, like, look for Pokemon and girlfriends.
Okay. Kyle, are you ever worried that when you're out looking for your Pokemon, someone will take you and stuff you in a locker? Because you're the type of guy, kids like you, I'd stuff in a locker back in the day.
Yeah, you know, I've had my fair share of swirlies. but that's just the way it goes sometimes. That's why you got to bring backup. Like, I was looking for Pokemon with Bobby Massey today.
Oh, couple old linemen looking for Pokemon.
We were getting breakfast. We were like getting breakfast, and I'm watching him like catch a Bulbasaur or something, and I'm like, damn, I wish I caught a Bulbasaur. But Bobby's balling, man. He likes Pokemon too. He's making me get the Game Boy Color.
So are you just playing the Pokemon Go app, or do you have others?
No, I just have the Pokemon Go app, which is why I reference his saying that I should get the Game Boy Color, because I need to get the Pokemon, whatever, red versus blue or whatever it is. I don't know. It's a Game Boy version of the game where you don't have to get off the couch. You can just move with your thumbs and search.
Okay, now we're talking my language.
Yeah, we need some of that. All right, well, Kyle, you've been on the phone with us for 10 minutes. You probably are freaking out because you haven't caught any Pokeballs or Pokemon since you've been on the call, so we're going to let you go. We appreciate you helping us understand Pokemon. We're going to have you back on in like a month to see if you actually make the Bears team, because clearly you're not in the gym working out. You're just out there catching Pokemon. So we'll see if you actually make the roster this year, and it'll be a good time.
Great. Thank you for having me. And everybody who's getting to rank 5, Team Valor. Gang, gang.
All right, let's do some segments. We have a PR 101 situation we need to help Miko Grimes with. Miko Grimes, if you're not familiar, she is the wife of Brent Grimes, formerly of the Miami Dolphins, now on the Tampa Bay Bucks. She went on a Twitter rant. This is something she kind of does. It's one of those things, like every now and then it rains in Los Angeles. Every now and then Miko Grimes is going to go on a Twitter rant and offend some people and yell at some people, then lock her account and pretend none of it happened. So this happened the other day. She basically was bashing Ryan Tannehill, saying he's a bum quarterback. She said she had to get her husband out of Miami. Now he's happy again. He can't wait to play. He has hope. He has a real GM, a real owner, a real QB. Anything is possible. Then she turned her attention to Stephen Ross. She said, got to respect Ross for keeping his, now warning at home, there's going to be a hard J I'm about to say. It's a hard, hard J. So got to respect Ross for keeping his Jew buddies employed. But did he not see how Tannenbaum put the Jets in the dumpster with that Sanchez deal?
So first of all, like, how is that offensive? Because she said, got to respect him. So really it was a compliment she was trying to pay to him, right?
Yes. I do not understand how Tannenbaum comes in here. I think she's doing the whole old let's connect the dots and say that the Jews run everything situation here.
Ooh, yeah, that can be problematic, I think.
Probably not great.
When you put it that way, it sounds a lot worse. So my favorite part about this Twitter rant was about – like 6 tweets later, after everybody was just roasting her over the hard J, she casually slips in like, you guys getting so upset on Twitter is the reason that the United States government can do things like pull off a fake terrorist attack on its own people, and you guys will believe it. So she dropped like a casual, nice cash 9/11 conspiracy reference like 6 tweets later, and nobody paid attention to that because we were still like in disbelief over the Jew comment that she made.
Kind of a smart move by her. If you're gonna go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories and you're gonna start, you know, throwing different religions and people under the bus, you might as well now use it as a perfect time to dovetail your 9/11 truther stuff. You know,
get it all off your chest. Yeah, right. Now's the time.
People aren't gonna peg you to all of it. They're just gonna get you on the Jew talk.
So unfortunately for her, maybe she didn't know this, but her husband's new boss, the Glazer family,
yes,
they actually had family that survived the Holocaust, family that was killed in the Holocaust. So they might not be really excited about this.
Going to be an awkward holiday party around the Tampa Bay Bucks facility.
Yeah. So are they going to – well, that's a good – are they going to have like a Christmas party there, or do they have a Hanukkah party?
I think it's just a holiday party. I think it's just a capital H holiday party.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
That's sad that we do that in America. But yeah, that's going to be kind of awkward, but it actually won't, because he's probably not going to be on the team.
Yes.
The NFL is one of those, it's one of those businesses where you can get fired because of something that your wife does.
Yes. Without a doubt. She also though, this could be under sorry, not sorry. She said, people really think I care about their feelings. Like they really think I'm going to sympathize. I'm rude as fuck. So why do you think I'd care? kind of a Raphael Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles vibe going here. She's, you know, she's cool but rude, you know. So what are you gonna do? She's gonna probably split off of the pack. She's gonna split off the other turtles and go try to fight Bebop, Bop, and Rocksteady by herself and get everyone in trouble. That will happen when you deal with Meiko Grimes.
And then everybody else will have to come save her, and it'll be a big thing. But if I'm giving her PR advice, what I would do is I would say, first of all, the most important thing you got to do, and this will fix 99% of it, is just lock your account.
Yes.
Just protect your account. And it's like it basically didn't happen. So she did that though, right?
Yeah, she locked it. She did step one.
Boom. So she's basically in the clear now. If you lock your account, anything that you tweeted – if that has what was that girl's name? Has so and so landed yet?
Justine.
Justine, yeah. If Justine had just like fired off that AIDS tweet, locked her account, she'd be fine. Nobody would care about it. Step number two, and this only really works if you're a woman. Get pregnant, have a baby. If you have a baby, then you can easy way to be like, it really changed my whole perspective on life. Really made me reevaluate the type of person I was being before. Now I understand that my comments were insensitive because it's like LeBron. I'm a father of three. You know, like don't you can't disrespect me. So Meiko can just say, got a kid, learn my lesson. Boom.
If you want to take it even one step further, Meiko, have a Jewish baby. Just really go for it. Trump's been doing this line recently. You know, he's got a Jewish grandkid.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, he can get out of jail for free. It's like, oh yeah, I got a Jewish grandkid. Meiko might want to have a Jewish kid. I don't know. That could mend a lot of bridges pretty quickly.
At the very least, if it's a male, have your child circumcised. That'll do most of the work right there.
Have a break.
Reaching across the aisle. Everybody will be happy with you. Option number two is just turn your Twitter profile picture into like your face with the white background with the NFL shield on it. And just be like, hey, I'm a team player here. Sorry about that. I realize I represent something bigger than myself, the NFL. I'm sorry. So always problem solved. Shield.
Yeah. Also, option four, you could get in a fight with Jay Glazer and put him in a locker because that's actually what happened. So Jay Glazer came at her and said, at this point, I'm asking Meiko, please shut the fuck up. Sincerely, the Jew buddy of your husband's who first got him trained in MMA. Meiko simply replied, suck my dick. So... when a girl says suck my dick to a guy, you lost. Sorry, Jay. I normally am a big Jay Glazer fan, but you lost this round, my friend.
I'm trying to think, like, Meiko, obviously she's a pistol, that one.
She is live wire. She's a live wire.
And so if you're a live wire like that, what I noticed about her Twitter replies is that like one out of every 10 of them was just a guy saying, sit on my face, please. So, like, that's what happens if you're a woman online, I guess, is, like, guys want you to, like, try to kill you with your butt cheeks. She could just, like, open up a phone sex hotline, too.
Ooh, not a bad idea.
Seems like she could pull it off. I don't know.
Do you think Brent follows Meiko on Twitter? Or you think he's, like, I don't even want to, like, out of sight, out of mind. I don't even want to know what problems she's getting me into.
I think either he has her blocked or, like, he might just not have a Twitter. I don't know. That's the thing. Okay, big. That's a good spin zone for him right there. His wife is so outlandish online that like he could tweet basically anything as long as he's not out here like dropping 9/11 truther bombs or like Sandy Hook truth bombs. People are going to be like that. You know, Brent Grimes, really good guy. His wife though, ooh, she's a bit of a Looney Tune.
Also, Brent, I've always said this. This is a long-standing PR 101 piece. Just start a Twitter account in the foundation's name, the Meiko Grimes Foundation account. Then you can say an intern was tweeting and like dropping hard J's on everyone's face. Easy, easy solution. Everyone out there, every famous person out there, start a foundation account and just tweet from it like you do. And then when shit hits the fan, when you got to drop that 9/11 truthers, when you got to be anti-Semitic to the entire world, boom, intern tweeted it. We fired him. It's been taken care of. Go on with your day.
I mean, we can't solve the world's problems for him, but we're coming pretty close here, I think.
That's dangerously close. what do we got next? Oh, we have a thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers for Giancarlo Stanton's swing. He won the home run derby. So everyone knows here comes the slump. You can't win the home run. Bobby Abreu, just look at Bobby Abreu. He was never the same. So sorry, Josh man. Hamilton, you're gonna have too. A really bad second half.
Yeah, I mean, I've got something else here dovetailing off that. It's not a thoughts and prayers, but it's a witch hunt, right? Now everyone's gonna be like, "Yo, PFT, this is your most basic bitch witch hunt of all time." You're gonna say Stanton's on steroids, which he probably is, but I don't think that needs to be witch hunted. You don't need to like point your finger at a witch and be like, "That's a witch," if she's flying across the sky on a broom, right? What I'm witch hunting here is the pitcher. I think that the batting practice pitcher got off steroids last week, and that's why Stanton was hitting all those moonshots off him. So there you go.
That makes you think. Those balls, he was hitting them so hard, and it wasn't even close. Like, no one even came close to him. I think he had 20 more home runs than the closest person. So congrats to the Marlins. That's pretty big. Maybe Jeffrey Loria won't trade him for a couple more years.
Yeah, I think he bought himself 6 months in the Marlins organization. You know what? A great move on his part. If he starts to look like, if the trade whispers start coming around, change your name, change your first name, and then he'll try to trade Giancarlo Stanton. You're like, dude, Giancarlo Stanton's not on this team anymore, and so the paperwork won't go through.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a little free legal advice here.
Yeah, that's boom. Just turn your out of office. On your email on, and you can't be fired. There's another one for everyone out there.
Yeah,
just solving everything for everyone. All right. We now have everyone's favorite game. New game. This is big because we were dead on, boys. Remember on Monday's show, we said Pokemon Go is a government. Not to brag.
Yeah, not to brag. We called it.
But we said it was a CIA government conspiracy theory to track all of our data. Well, let's go with the all right? It turns out Google, so apparently there's two ways to sign in to the Pokemon Go game. One of the ways was over flooded with users, so it kicked to the Google way. And Google now has access to all your emails, data, passwords, and everything else in your life.
I read that the company that made Pokemon, the CEO of this company, used to be the CEO of a company that was funded by the CIA.
Yes. Also read that. They met the Pokemon Go board member had met the CIA venture capital fund at like a little shindig, where all of them get together and decide what they're going to do and steal our brains. So,
you know, we invaded Iraq for less.
Let me just read this to you. When you sign up for Pokemon Go, this is something that you sign up for. We may disclose any information about you or your authorized child that is in our possession or control to government or law enforcement officials or private parties.
Did you say child? I couldn't help. Oh, were you not done?
No, well, my last one was basically Pokemon Go has sitting with the CIA, and they're saying, how do we get inside people's buildings? We have Google Maps. We can see the whole world. How do we get in the buildings? Oh, I don't know. Let's just throw a Squirtle right by someone's refrigerator. Picture.
I couldn't help but notice that the game was made by the Japanese. As I recall, the same country that they aligned themselves with Hitler. Ever heard of them?
So just a few.
Criminals are actually using Pokemon Go to track people. And then they rob them if you're playing Pokemon Go.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Verizon and AT&T, I don't know if they're down. Their stock is down. I'm assuming it is because, I don't know, I just assume that. Hank, what'd you say about the data? What was it doing to your phone?
You can only use it when you're – usually when you use it, you don't have Wi-Fi, so it just kills your data.
Okay. Thanks. Hey, thanks, Hank. And that was, seriously, though, Pokemon Go is a government conspiracy, and I don't know why anyone... I'm out of the game, so our bet, I'm out.
Oh, no, you're getting stuff in the locker then.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. I'd rather be in a locker than be framed for murder by the CIA. So I deleted the whole app.
Can we get Richie Incognito to stuff you in the locker? Like, Richie, if you're listening to this, I think that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Fine. We got to find a pretty damn big locker. People were making a lot of jokes about that, but that's fine. I'm sure we can find a big locker, and I will get stuffed in the locker, and you guys can get your brains stolen by the CIA.
It'll just be a walk-in, like, storage unit. That's yeah. The locker. Yeah. For Big Cat.
We actually should do Storage Wars at some point. Write that down. We'll add that to Colby.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. We have finally the last segment we have for today. Hey, JJ, another favorite. JJ, you can see, by the way, folks, it is July. We are really we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. If Miko Grimes didn't start offending every Jewish person in America, we wouldn't have a lot of shows today. We wouldn't have a lot of segments today. So, hey, JJ, Friday, he is releasing a shoe. He's releasing a new shoe. So, hey, JJ, it's July, dude. People want to wear sandals.
Hey, JJ, you know where Reebok makes their shoes, bro? In China. They pay him like $1 an hour to make your shoes. They put nets up outside the buildings to prevent people from committing suicide because their low-paying job sucks so much, JJ. Those are the people who are making your shoes.
Hey, JJ, Nike actually has more sweatshops than Reebok, but your shoe's probably going to be really popular, so Nike's going to have to put all the 8-year-olds back to work, double shift, to keep up with all your shoe sales.
Hey, JJ, Reebok's actually run small, so everyone's feet are going to be hurting. It's kind of messed up.
Hey, JJ, your shoes have red in them. What about people that are colorblind?
That's a good one. I like that. Hey, JJ, 60% of Houston lives below the poverty line, and they can't afford your shoes. How's that going to make them feel?
Hey, JJ, back to that red color. What if some Crips wanted to wear that shoe, and then they get shot? Ever think about that? You could cause a murder.
Hey, JJ, you're a football player. You don't wear normal shoes. You wear cleats. What's up with that? Why are you selling regular shoes, dude?
Oh, man, that was Hey, JJ. Please be on the lookout for the next Hey, JJ. We're on him. He just needs – you know what? I think we're actually – we flipped from being antagonists of JJ to actually being guardians of him because we're pointing out to him all the things he needs to be thinking about if he wants to be a true superhero.
Right. I mean, you can't be out there proclaiming that you're, you know, helping everybody in the world out and you're the all-American good guy and then at the same time have shoes that are literally killing millions of people. Right. Hey, JJ, you know about like the plastics and the chemicals they put in those shoes? They're literally polluting the planet, dude.
Hey, JJ, you make every shoe that you make probably ends up in a seagull's throat. That was JJ once again. Oh, man. All right. Let's end the show. We have a big announcement. It's not the biggest announcement we've had, but we have a fun announcement. Friday's show, because we have the middle of July. It is sports hell. You have the ESPYs. We have the takeies. So we are going to throw out a few fan votes so you guys can get involved. The takeies are going to be lit. It's going to be a retrospective of the year in takes. And we're going to have – what are some of the categories we have?
Well, we're obviously doing like best take for baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. No soccer.
Yep.
So if you send us a soccer take, it's going in the trash. Yep. We're going to do best ESPN sports business analyst on Twitter.
Yep.
That's one of the categories. But we need your help. We need to get nominees from you guys for person who Cam Newton could learn the most from.
Ooh.
We need to get just nominations for the take of the year in general. Just well, send us, Send us your best takes that you remember from the course of the year, and we're going to take all those into consideration.
And we'll also we'll do a fan vote. We'll do a fan vote. We'll have like you know how they always do like the fan vote player of the year or something. We'll figure out some category that can be decided only by the fans, and we'll put that to a poll. So everyone get excited. We'll have the takeies on Friday. And we also, I know we promised you Mike Portnoy, America's lawyer today. We had Kyle jump in last second, so he will be on the deck. We're either going to have him on Friday or maybe Saturday. We'll figure it out. But we owe it to everyone to clean up all of our legal problems.
Yeah, and also we want to hear from you what your Jimbo of the year is. So yes. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be one that you can put above your fireplace for a long time if you win that one.
And finally, let's get everyone. Hank said that he is running out of Take On Me covers. So we are ready now. We have a large enough fan base. Start sending them in. Acoustic. You can do it on your harmonica. If you got a kazoo. If you got a little beat machine. I don't know what you kids are into these days.
Casio
send us
keyboard.
Your take on me. Yeah. Send us your take on me and we will feature it. We will shout you out as well. We will give you a Twitter shout out. If you send us a Take On Me cover and we use it. And with that, we will see you on Friday. I'll become a real okay.